It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Late last week, cable giant Comcast announced plans to buy Warner Cable, a proposed $45 million deal that, pending FCC approval, would expand Comcast's reach to 30 million households. So what would such a merger mean for cable television, the internet, and consumers? I'm joined now in studio by Jeff Ritter, chair of the Communications and Technology Department at La Roche College. Jeff Ritter, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul.
Also with us by phone is Philadelphia Inquirer consumer and technology columnist Jeff Gellis. Jeff Gellis, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
And if you have a comment or question for our guests, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. How do you feel about a Comcast-Time Warner merger? 412-246-2002. Jeff Gellis, let me begin with you. The day the deal was announced, David Cohen of Comcast said it was pro-competitive, pro-consumer, and strongly in the public interest. Is it?
Well, I believe I said in my column that that was spin, and I think that's putting it politely. They have to persuade the FCC to do pieces of this deal. They have to meet a public interest standard, and the Antitrust Division of the Justice Department is concerned about competition, so there's a lot of persuasion that will have to go on.
Is this a monopoly, much in the way that our electric bills are? We pay one company for our electricity. Essentially, there's really only, for many people, one option for cable. Does this just increase the monopoly that already exists?
I think that that's really the essential problem, which is that cable TV was never considered an essential service the same way that electricity was. So it was never regulated as tightly, and now that it's become the dominant provider of broadband internet services, it really is essential to anyone who can afford it. And that's the rub. It's gotten quite expensive as Comcast and other cable companies and Verizon and the places where it offers Fios have really pushed the price up. There's no good wireless provider that offers something similar. It's just not technologically feasible at this point.
Would an enlarged Comcast be the bully in the schoolyard, which you quoted Public Knowledge's John Bergmeier as saying?
The cable companies, and this is a way that Comcast is not quite unique but unusual, have to negotiate for content from the channel owners and the broadcast networks. Now, Comcast owns NBC Universal, so in a sense, it's negotiating with itself there. But they've been concerned, and everybody in the cable industry has been concerned for years about how much the content owners charge per subscriber. I think ESPN demands more than $5 a month per subscriber. You know, not everyone watches it, but if you want it on your channel lineup, you got to pay the price.
Philly is Comcast's home market. How has it behaved there?
It's a good public citizen. It's well connected, and it throws its weight around, I think it's fair to say. Back in the 1990s, there was an attempt by RCN, one of the few overbuilders that's left in this country, you know, companies that say, well, all right, there's a market for cable television, and we'd like to compete in that market. So they'll come in and string their own cables and take market share. The problem with overbuilders is everybody gets less money if they actually compete. So there's been a real disincentive to compete. One of the funny things to me about this deal is that there's actually no law or rule that prevents Time Warner and Comcast from being head-to-head competitors. And yet they said proudly that, you know, they didn't do business in the same zip code anywhere in the United States. Well, either one of them could have said, you know, we want to go after that market share and we're going to offer cheaper prices and better service. And you know, you and I listen to that, and we can't even imagine it happening in the cable TV industry.
Jeff Ritter, what's the FCC's role in all of this? How much power does the FCC have in regulating cable?
Well, they've always played some role. That's why in every city there's only one cable provider, because they have to negotiate with the city, get the contract, string the cables, and then they have to give the city certain things. The FCC requires the local channel, local origination channel, along with studio and training, all those kinds of things they've had for a long time as part of the public service that they're supposed to do, because they are a public conduit now that we expect to have in every city. So the FCC is going to look at it pretty carefully, and I think they're going to measure what the impact could be. But they are also very savvy about new technologies, and there are new technologies on the horizon. There's some being used right now. 4G, WiMAX is out there, and this could spur investment in that field and bring a lot more possibilities of wireless internet to people's houses.
Will the FCC block this deal, do you think? What are the chances?
Oh, I think it's probably unlikely. They like to they play with the big boys all the time, and a lot of these the people on the FCC are former cable lobbyists, and there's a lot of in and out with the a revolving door with the industry. So I don't expect them to block it, but I expect them to ask for a few things in return for allowing it. So they're going to probably have some, you know, minor givebacks or ways of assuaging some of that fear that everybody has. But I also think that they see it as a way to bring more competition to the field from different technologies, and even for Comcast and Time Warner themselves to realize we can't be the giant bully for this many people, for a third of the country, without losing a lot of our goodwill that we have, if we have any left. So maybe they'll try a few different packages and a few innovative ideas.
Jeff Gelis, what are your feelings about how the FCC will handle this in the end?
Oh, I agree with Jeff. I think the regulatory agencies know their limits when they approach deals like this, and they'll push at the edges, but it's pretty unusual for them to block it. The Justice Department got active in the wireless space when AT&T was going to buy up T-Mobile, and we'd only have three national providers, and they said no. But, you know, this is not a competitive market. This is a market where the cable companies themselves have carved up the map, and you put in your zip code and find out which cable company serves you, and you don't really have any choice. So if there is new technology on the horizon that allows people to cut the cord from the cable company and still get the content they want, then that would be a blessing for competition. One of the problems is that vertically integrated companies like Comcast and in the past Time Warner, before it spun off Time Warner Cable, were able to control access to that. So they came up with this idea of, I think, qualified content. You can't buy HBO as an internet package. HBO will only sell it to you as an internet service if you're a cable subscriber. MLB Network, which I think is partly owned by the cable companies, has the same deal. You can only get it in certain circumstances, I believe, if you're a cable subscriber.
If Comcast takes over Time Warner Cable, how much gatekeeper power does this give Comcast in a lot of the important markets?
It's a lot. It's going to be pretty big. I mean, it's a big company, and they have relationships with all kinds of other companies, some, you know, most of which other media companies. So certainly they're going to throw their weight around. They're going to be very influential. They're going to try to avoid anything overtly controlling or trying to influence people directly. But that's the nature of capitalism today, and it's been that way for a while. I mean, people are somewhat surprised. I had a class yesterday of students who were shocked that I told them this could – the government could restrict this. We don't let companies just do anything they want all the time. There's Sherman antitrust goes back a long way. They didn't really know about it, and I don't think most people know about it. But the Justice Department's pretty strong in some of these things. But as we both we've agreed, this is probably going to happen. They'll have somewhat givebacks. But I look at it, and I brought this up to my students as, look at the opportunities it brings about for investment in other things and other directions, and for people who say, I want to find a different way to get internet access. And there's going to be a lot of them.
Jeff Gelis, we understand your time is limited, and then I believe you have another appointment to get to. So I want to thank you for your participation in this conversation and for a very interesting column that you wrote about this.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate your reaching out.
Our pleasure. Philadelphia Inquirer consumer and technology columnist Jeff Gelis. We will continue on with Jeff Ritter, chair of the Communications and Technology Department at La Roche College, discussing Comcast's plans to buy Warner Cable, a deal that is pending FCC approval. If you'd like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002, the number to call. How do you feel that such a deal would impact you and your service? 412-246-2002. Also, you can reach us at ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. David on Twitter writes, is Pittsburgh one of a few cities with Comcast and Verizon Fios competing head-to-head?
Might be. And that's good for people. They're both pretty high, pretty expensive services. It's working for them, and but we also have Clearwire is in Pittsburgh. I had that for a little while until I needed faster bandwidth and more access for my kids to do everything they want to do. But Clearwire and other companies could bring that up to speed. It's possible they'll be competitive.
I wanted to get back to this idea of you know, how Comcast may control content creators and internet companies, which if there's anything that looms as problematic for all of us and that we should be concerned about in an Orwellian way, it's this idea that Comcast can lord over the people who are creating the things that we enjoy watching. How much leverage does this give Comcast? If this deal goes through, how much sway does Comcast have with content creators, with internet companies, with networks that must interconnect with Comcast?
Well, the biggest thing they're worried about is going to be the net neutrality issue. And I think that if the public understands it and the FCC publicizes it well enough, that the public, the Congress, will have to act and say the internet is a public space now. It's something, and it's a resource and a utility, and we need equal access to the internet for anybody. That's what made the internet work in all these years and be an incredible boon to every kind of business and enterprise and education that we have. And the only way that's going to continue is with net neutrality. If they start throttling back or looking for extra fees for keeping the speed up, and then small operators and brand new websites get left in the dust behind Amazon and the big companies, it's no longer the internet. It's a paid subscriber highway. And that'll stifle innovation. We know that'll happen. So I think the public's got to start to understand this. FCC has to work on it, and Congress has to get behind it. And that would be a pretty fair balance against the power that the companies have, because as long as people have access to the whole internet, they'll be able to do a lot of things they want to do. Of course, even with the internet, the majority of people go to the top 10, 12 websites. That's where millions of people go to most every day. But little sites and little enterprises and startups can get on there, and that's important, very important to the economy today, and we want to keep that, we probably want to keep that going. And Comcast may be against that, but it's going to take Congress to get involved.
How does this impact an entity like Netflix, for example, if this deal goes through?
Well, they want to have access to everybody. They want the speed to be the same as it's always been, and you know, they don't want to have to pay extra fees for access to their customers. And so they're going to be negotiating if they have to, but they'll probably also they're only going to be on the side of net neutrality as well.
Some would argue that a Comcast-Time Warner Cable merger wouldn't matter because customers already have no choice in the market.
In some ways, yeah. I mean, that's why they're talking about being in different zip codes. which kind of didn't make any sense. If you're in different zip codes, then why bother merging? Well, they want the power mm-hmm. of that that giant company. A third of the cable subscribers in the country to be on one company. So they definitely want to have that leverage, and that's going to help them with suppliers and with content providers of all kinds if they want to extract extra fees from one of the five or six fishing channels or one of the five or six aerobic dance channels or whatever they want. They may be able to do that. That's private enterprise and business, and we don't have to get involved in it necessarily. But the internet and broadband access is going to be a different story. They may be very innovative in some ways and say, you know, maybe we'll give some people or in some regions or customers what they want, just plain broadband at a high price for a fast access. Fine. What do they care really about all of those extra channels on cable TV?
Is this going along with the trend that we've seen of when the FCC deregulated, you saw companies that could only own a couple of radio stations suddenly owning six? You know, Clear Channel certainly comes to mind. Is that where we're headed, and is this good for America?
Well, it also included the invention of the infomercial.
Right.
Before that,
yeah.
Commercial time was limited per hour. Mm-hmm. Then they said it's unlimited. You got a full hour of a commercial. What entertainment we get for that value?
Though, it slices, we? It dices, it does.
But yeah, it's the trend of deregulating, getting government out of the way of many things that business wants to do. Good for business, certainly in many ways, but it's been good for innovation in a lot of fields as well that brought about alternatives like DVRs, recording your TV yourself. Being able to skip commercials. Some kids have never seen commercials on television because their parents have been DVRing their TV their whole lives.
It's a good thing, perhaps.
Yeah, or could be.
For some people. Yeah. Well, Jeff Ritter, Chair of Communications and Technology at La Roche College, thank you so much for being with us and for talking about this pending merger between Comcast and Time Warner.
You're welcome.
Coming up, one script, one set of actors, two directors. Who wins? When Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.